Mini episode 478 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 478. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris. We have a great segment for you today. It is our 2014-2015 NHL season preview. We're doing this a few games into the season here, so we'll be able to take a little bit of a look at what's transpired thus far, but mostly a longer-term look at what we expect to happen this season, how we expect things to shake out based on the offseason, based on the baseline of how teams come in from last season. And as always, we have a tremendous roundtable for the show. Bring in first a gentleman who you know him and love him from such great hockey webcasts as KingsCast and also StickTac TV, Keith Cornwalk, joining the program today, coming back into the FDH Lounge once again. One of our favorite guys to talk hockey with. Keith, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing great. Good to hear your voice again. How are you?
Oh, tremendous, Keith. It's always great to talk hockey with you. I've been looking forward to this. And we're going to end up reprising our panel from the Stanley Cup Final last year, bringing in additionally good old all-around sports generalist Steve Callis. You can hear him, of course, with his regular podcast, The Steve Callis Show, on the STN.net. He can also be heard from time to time in New York on WFAN, SNY, number of great outlets out there on the East Coast, and has also made some CBS Sports Radio appearances as well. Steve Callis, our good buddy, coming back on. Steve, how are you today, buddy?
I'm good, Rick. Good to be with both you and Keith. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be another great segment like it was when the three of us were breaking down the Stanley Cup Final this past season. And again, really looking forward to this conversation. Keith, I'll start with you because the defining rivalry so far of this decade has kind of been more or less in your backyard, that great Game 7, really the great Western Conference Finals last year between your Los Angeles Kings and the Chicago Blackhawks. It's really, you know, much like San Francisco and St. Louis in baseball right now, actually at this very moment, engaged in that series. San Francisco and Seattle in the NFL, it's the Kings and the Hawks that really seem to be at the apex of the league, dominating the Stanley Cup in recent seasons. Not the greatest start for both teams thus far, but sample size being what it is, I don't think either team is overly worried about that. Well, what are your thoughts on a potential third consecutive Western Conference final between these two teams?
Well, you know, the way the Kings play in the regular season, I'm kind of at the point where it's wake me up when the playoffs start. You know, I think they're going to, you know, I don't think they're going to win the division. They're probably not going to win the conference, but they'll sneak into the playoffs. And, you know, it's anybody's guess. I certainly think that they're two of the stronger teams in the Western Conference, and I don't think it'd be any shock to see them in the conference finals, you know. But that said, you know, a lot of people have made some good improvements. You know, look just down the street in Anaheim, and, you know, they got a lot better as well. So I think it's going to be a very interesting, tight race when all said and done and it's playoff time.
Kind of points out the differences and I guess similarities as well with other sports. What you're describing right there with them really kind of also embodies the dynamic in baseball, where it seems like the Giants or the Cardinals just got to get in and they'll find a way. Conversely, my Cleveland Cavaliers, I don't think are going to be just sneaking into the Eastern Conference playoffs this year, looking to kind of backdoor to the NBA Finals. You don't tend to see that in the basketball world quite as much. But Steve, what are your thoughts on this as far as those two teams? Of course, in your half of the country out there with you on the East Coast, it's sort of been the Bruins and the Penguins in recent years, kind of showing similar dominance on a smaller scale anyways, albeit both teams got knocked out before the Eastern Conference Finals last year. So what are your thoughts on some of the big boys in the league heading into this year?
Well, I will say that the East versus the West is almost the JV versus the varsity. It reminds me of LeBron in Cleveland the first time around, Rick, because back in those days, as you know, the East was horrific and the West had all the good teams. I won't say the West has all the good teams in the NHL this year, but I do think they have most of the better teams. If you had to pick the top eight, I think maybe six of them would be from the West. But it does I like Pittsburgh in the East this year. I was shocked that the Bruins didn't get past the Canadiens last year. It was lucky for my Rangers that the Bruins didn't get past the Canadiens, because I think that did loft the Rangers into the finals. But nobody really thought they had a good chance against the Kings. I was hoping Lundqvist would stand on his head. I actually thought he played really well last year, but not good enough. The Kings were just frankly better. Although I remember writing an article after the playoffs ended saying that the Stanley Cup Finals were a lot closer than you thought, because they were. The Rangers blew a couple of two-goal leads. And I'm a diehard Ranger guy, but I don't see how they get back this year. I think it is going to be Pittsburgh and the Bruins, but I do like the Penguins coming out of the East this year. Just briefly, in the West, I kind of like the Blackhawks. I'm not a California guy. It's almost like they take turns between the Kings and the Blackhawks. Very, very hard to repeat. The Kings on paper, probably still the best team in the league, deepest team up the middle at the center position, of course. But I'm going to kind of lean towards Chicago in the West. I'm sure we'll talk more about that. But in the East, I do think it's almost round up the usual suspects, although Pittsburgh has changed their coach and their GM, as you know. But I think it's going to be the Penguins' year to come back. A lot, of course, as always, depends on the goaltenders of all the teams we've just mentioned.
Absolutely. Through the first couple of games, Pittsburgh has looked very dominant. Keith, what are your thoughts in terms of the landscape of the league since the end of last year? You referenced Anaheim. We've talked briefly about the coaching change and GM change in Pittsburgh as well. Of course, every year into the league, you get a couple of impact rookies. What are your thoughts on how the landscape is different in some key ways that will affect the big picture as opposed to the end of last year?
Well, I think the teams that were in the top eight they all managed to get a little bit better. And then the teams in the bottom, you know, maybe got a little bit worse. You don't see anybody out of Alberta really making any noise. I know Vancouver is, 2-0 at this point, but probably not much is going to happen there. But the people that, were the favorites, all got a little bit better. You know, I'm looking at St. Louis, although, you could have that debate about Stastny, LA, Anaheim, Chicago, and even San Jose. They got a lot of flack for, losing, being up 3-0 last year, but the team really didn't get that much worse, so they could still make some noise. Are they past their prime? Is the door still open to win a Stanley Cup? Maybe not, but, and then, Minnesota, they got a little bit better as well. So it's going to be a really, really strong, Western Conference. I just don't see anyone else really seeing it. And of course the Dallas Stars, they made some, huge improvements, over the summer there. So I really do think, the people that are strong are going to continue to stay strong, and, everybody else will be hoping to grab Connor McDavid in the draft coming up.
I would agree with that. It's a league where, as you indicated, the top tier really looks to be just kind of locking in, and there is really that kind of continuity in recent seasons, really in both conferences, no question about it. Steve, your thoughts on the subject here as far as any major changes to the landscape from the end of last season?
Well, absolutely. As Keith said, a lot of the good teams got better and a lot of the bad teams didn't. I mean, I'm already looking to talk about the Connor McDavid sweepstakes. I think Buffalo has to be the early leader after Ted Nolan called his team. And I think Ted Nolan is an excellent NHL coach, but I don't know if he's going off the deep end early. They're 0-3, and he called his team a peewee team based on their effort recently. And after you would chalk that up to, I'm frustrated we just lost the game, the next morning he got up and apparently said at a press conference that I think a handful of our guys aren't even trying. So I don't know that Buffalo or the fans of Buffalo would be too upset, because they're not going to be very good this year. And there might be an NFL type at the end of the year, let's lose some games to win the Connor McDavid sweepstakes. But I don't want to go there. In terms of improvements, I watched Brad Richards play in New York all year last year. And of course, he's the Conn Smythe winner from 2004 at Tampa. And he had his problems with his old coach, John Tortorella, but he played pretty well last year for the Rangers, was very good in the playoffs. Chicago picks him up because, again, I think when everybody looks at the Kings, yes, they're big and they're strong, but they're deep at the center position. I think Richards is going to get a new lease on life in Chicago because they're not going to look to him to be the major scorer that the Rangers look to him to be. And frankly, he's not that major scorer anymore. Having said that, he's a really good player still. He's a big body. He's a goal scorer. So I think he might be able to back them up when they have the battle of the centers, which, again, I expect to be in the conference finals in the West against the Kings. The Ducks, of course, with Kessler, he's a big-time player. The Stars, Jason Spezza, I think was a good pickup. The Blues, I watched them opening night, and I understand it's a short thing, and they lost to the Rangers, and then the Rangers got hammered the next two games. The Blues, I expect to be a good team, but I they certainly didn't look good against the Rangers, but again, it's very early in the season. So I think there have been a number of really good teams picking up players. And I'll throw in, much as it's against my religion to say this, I'll throw in even a kind word for the Islanders, because for them to get Johnny Boychuk from the Bruins, and I understand the Bruins, I guess, had to trade him for salary cap reasons, but to pick up a guy like Boychuk on the eve of the season, and he's already played really well in their few games, John Tavares has probably been the best hockey player in the New York, New Jersey area for a few years now, and I think this is the year when people will finally see how good he is, and I think they're going to make at least a run to the playoffs, which would be a big victory for the Islanders. But I think Tavares, if he can stay healthy now, I think he's averaged like 50 games a year the last two seasons, but if he can stay healthy, I think he's already a star and on the verge of being a superstar. So yeah, I think a lot of these teams have improved, and it's just going to make for a more interesting season. But I think there is really kind of no middle class. It's kind of like New York City where I live. The middle class is left. It seems you're either a have or a have not in the NHL.
This campaign message paid for by Bill de Blasio. as far as that, though, no, you're right. The Boychuk thing raised my eyebrow as well when I saw that come across the wire. And as far as teams allegedly tanking or not tanking, again, that's something that we see that in a number of sports when it seems like the stakes are high enough. I spent the entire season before LeBron came out screaming for the Cavs to go pick up Earl Boykins, and it turns out they knew what they were doing, because playing without a point guard all year got them tied for the most lottery balls, and the rest was history. So yeah, teams will do what they have to do to position themselves. You're absolutely right that Buffalo is going to have the best shot at that. When you're talking about John Tavares there, Steve, that brings up the question that I had off air with FDH Director of Research Nate Noy. I'll start with you on this, Keith. We were talking about one player in specific, that being Steven Stamkos, who most people right now would probably still look at as being the 1A to Sidney Crosby, and particularly the way that Crosby has started the season to his number one. Is this the year that Stamkos may catch Crosby in the esteem of the general hockey public here, perhaps even surpass him, or are we probably still a year or two or maybe more away from that?
Well, I think the Tampa Bay Lightning, I thought they were great last season despite losing Stamkos, and, you know, I think they've assembled a really good team around him. So, you know, I mean, he doesn't necessarily have the name of Crosby, but I think he's just as fascinating to watch. I took Stamkos over Crosby in my fantasy draft, so I'm a big fan of his. He's already got three goals in the season. I think that he could, and I think it all depends on how well the teams perform. And I really like the Lightning coming out of the East this year. And if they do, it will be no small part to Steven Stamkos. So I could see him being, not necessarily the face of NHL hockey, but, taking a few more trophies than Sidney Crosby this year.
Well, that assessment, actually, I'm glad to hear that because, Steve Yzerman's my personal hero, and if my Red Wings can't get it done, I would be more than glad to see his Tampa Bay Lightning get it done. And you're absolutely right, I think, about the prospects for that team and putting it together. And Steve, I'd be really interested to get your thoughts on Steven Stamkos. He's clearly doing a lot better at the moment than the 1A guy in the other major winter sport, that being, of course, Kevin Durant, who unfortunately is going to be out for several months. I'd rather be just about anybody than him right now. But Stamkos, you don't have to even compare him negatively or positively, I should say, to how Durant is doing. He's off to a tremendous start. And again, about to turn 25 this winter, you would think that the sky is the limit. I just wonder, Steve, how quickly do you think he's going to get there?
Well, Stamkos already a superstar, as you guys both said, a hat trick the other night, only 24 years old. Certainly, I think in the East, if it's not the Bruins or Pittsburgh, and I'm picking Pittsburgh over the Bruins in the East, it's going to be Tampa Bay. I don't think you go more than three deep in the East, although I'm sure you go more than three deep in the West. Much as I love the Rangers, they overachieve. But yes, Stamkos already a superstar, young guy. Can Ben Bishop get it done all the way to go to the Stanley Cup Finals and win the Stanley Cup? That's a little bit of a stretch for me, although he played very well last year.
I would agree with all of that. Yeah, he had a tremendous stretch there and left the Tampa Bay fans feeling very, very optimistic going into the offseason. This is now the second year of the NHL's revised divisional and playoff system, with reverting to the four divisions and the style that leaves three guaranteed teams per division and the two wild cards. It seemed to do a lot, I thought, Keith, to emphasize traditional rivalries last year, the fact that in terms of, say, San Jose, Anaheim, L.A., they've all got to go through one another to get to the conference finals. It seemed like it really, I didn't see the ratings very much in depth or anything, but on the surface, it seems like it did what it was supposed to do in terms of rekindling some of the traditional rivalries. And I know that L.A. and Anaheim have kind of been brewing the last couple of years anyways, but it seemed like it added something. Did you really think it was successful as well?
I do. And, I mean, this is the first time that L.A. and Anaheim have ever faced each other in the playoffs. So I think mission accomplished there. I mean, it always helps when, you know, your top teams in any conference, you know, are within the same geographic region. But I like the new playoff format. And, you know, as a, you know, Southern California hockey guy, you know, seeing all three teams go up against each other in very competitive series, you know, certainly strengthened some of the hate towards the other team. So, you know, I really enjoyed it. And, you know, as, you know, the Islanders continue to get better, it'd be nice to see an Islander-Rangers series down the line a little bit. So, yeah, I do think the NHL did a good job with that.
And, you know, that could happen as soon as this year. And Steve Callis, I know you'd be very thrilled if that were the case. That would be some tremendous action in your backyard if we were to see that. Do you agree with Keith and I? Was year one of this new format a success for the NHL?
Absolutely. I mean, it is amazing to me that three of maybe the best eight teams, I'll say, are in California, but that's fantastic. Islanders Rangers has been the Hatfields and the McCoys since the Islanders came on the scene in the 70s. That would be fantastic to see. Of course, that's a live and die series in New York. The Islanders, as you know, eventually moving to Brooklyn, not this year. Wong has sold the team. But still, again, I think the Islanders have been kind of a sleeping dog for a long time. They have not been good in recent years. But I think now, you know, you got Tavares on the front and Boychuk on the Islanders team is going to be just a gigantic player. He was a big factor for Boston, don't get me wrong, but he's an even bigger factor for the Islanders and has played very well early in the season. So, yeah, I like the notion of these rivalries and meeting each other in the playoffs. I think it's fantastic. I do not like the new playoff system. I wonder, though, if there will ever come a day where you'll just take the first-place team in each of the divisions and then take the next six teams based on records, or even cross divisions where, again, the West is stronger than the East, much like it used to be in the NBA, where you'd have teams under 500 in the East of the NBA making the playoffs, and you'd have teams 6, 8, 10 games over 500 not making the playoffs in the West. I don't know if any sport would have the I don't know if it's guts. It might be unfair in the view of many, but I don't know if you might someday just take the top four teams, two in each league, in each division, in each conference, and then just take the rest of them from whatever conference they're from to fill out the playoffs. I think that's unlikely, but from a fairness point of view, might not be a bad idea, especially when you have so many good teams in the West as you do right now in the National Hockey League.
Well, yeah, you're right that that's unlikely to come about in the near term or even the medium term. And again, yeah, that situation certainly even more grievous in the NBA right now, where I think that would prevent the likes of me from already being able to plan ahead for my team being in the NBA Finals next year. You wouldn't be able to count on that quite as much in the NBA if you had that kind of a system there. But yeah, the NBA is in worse need of it. I could see the NHL possibly needing that at some point, whether or not they choose to go that way. But that kind of ties to what I wanted to talk about next with you guys, some of the off-ice talk of the off-season. that is going to linger over this year, because decisions may be coming about potentially as soon as this NHL season. Keith, were you a little bit surprised to hear in the offseason this talk about the league going to potentially 34 teams? I wonder if it's just a trial balloon before they go to 32. It doesn't seem to me like there's that many markets out there that might be up for hockey that are viable. This talk about getting a second team in Toronto kind of strikes me as cloud talk with the political cloud of the Maple Leafs. So some of that seems really kind of goofy. Some of the scenarios have been floated out there. Las Vegas, there's logistical and gambling issues with that for a number of reasons. What were some of your thoughts when this 34 talk was being bandied about out of nowhere in the offseason?
34 seemed a little bit excessive, you know, but there are a few play, you know, I don't know if you guys saw, but there were 7,000 people at the Florida Panthers game. I mean, I certainly see some relocation to different markets. I mean, Kansas City's had an arena for quite a while. One of the LA Kings, Phil Anschutz, has had an arena out there. So I think there are plenty of different markets that have the, you know, that have a base that could support a team. Expanding that far out seems to be a little crazy. You know, to me, what makes the most sense is a Seattle and a Quebec. You know, it makes sense geographically. You get another Canadian market team going. And the logistics of another Toronto franchise. And, you know, I was born in Toronto, so I have a lot of family up there that follow the Leafs. And they mostly go to Sabres games, you know, because it's certainly cheaper to do. And what that will take away from Buffalo and some of those other teams does seem kind of like a logistical nightmare. You know, I've been to Vegas a few times, and I think that there'll be a beautiful arena out there. But I just don't see much of a hometown base. I see it as being a lot of high rollers getting free tickets, or people that won a little more than usual at a blackjack table getting something there. So I don't really see the possibility of a Vegas franchise or it doing well. But definitely some relocation, and expanding by two teams to me does make some sense. But four, I don't know.
I would agree with that. Plus, you'd have four divisions of eight. But Keith, let me ask you a follow-up question since you were talking about Toronto there. I'm always interested in the nuts and bolts of fan engagement, who's going to go for a team, and everything. This almost kind of strikes me that in the early 1960s, when the National League returned to New York with the Mets, you think to yourself, okay, so they're drawing upon old Brooklyn Dodger fans, New York Giant fans. That's where they're trying to draw. This doesn't strike me as making any sense, putting a second team in Toronto. I understand the economics of it and that the market would probably support a team, but who lives in and around Toronto that loves hockey that doesn't love the Maple Leafs? In terms of we're going to get people to root for a second Toronto team, are there really that many such people in Toronto?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. You know, you put a second Toronto team in there, and, you know, they start winning a little bit more than the Maple Leafs do. You'll see some fans cross over pretty quickly. You know, I think the thing about Canada, Toronto in particular, is you have a lot of Leafs fans there, but, I mean, people just eat, sleep, and breathe hockey, and they really want a winning team. So, you know, I think the people where, you know, the dads and the grandparents are hardcore Leafs fans might not cross over, but the people that just love hockey and want to see a team win or get some exciting prospects, or, I mean, maybe it could happen. I don't see a scenario. I mean, I know Toronto is a big city in the grander scheme, but supporting two National Hockey League franchises in the same city, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. I just don't see it happening.
That's kind of the same thought that I had. Steve, what's your perspective on this, on the league expanding or quite possibly overexpanding to 34 teams, or maybe a more reasonable 32?
Well, 34 is ridiculous. I guess you could make a numbers case for 32, obviously 16 in the East, 14 in the West to even that up. But I'm pretty much against expansion. Relocation is a different issue, as Keith said, but I'm against expansion simply because even adding two teams, we've seen it in baseball, we've seen it in other sports, it really does just make the league much weaker. I mean, you can go way back if you want to the 16 NHL that became 12. And if you want to see how weak that became, just look at any good players scoring totals. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I'm old enough to remember the 16 NHL when you were a 20-goal scorer, you were an offensive star at 20 goals. And if you were 30 or 40 goals, then you were, you know, Bobby Hull or Gordie Howe. And then, poof,
right.
When it came into 12 teams, literally the next season, I would tell you to look at any big-time player. The scoring went so high. Bobby Orr, as great as he was and the greatest hockey player ever, in my opinion, Bobby Orr's numbers after just playing 1 year in the old league went through the roof. Now, he changed the game, and that's why I think he is the greatest player ever, from an offensive standpoint, obviously, as a defenseman. But having said that, and going back to what Keith said about Florida, I actually heard Doug McClain today on the NHL Network say he was actually at that game, and the attendance was announced as a little over 7,000, and he swore there were only 3,500 in the stand. So they're ripe, and I don't want to dump on Florida. I love Florida. I mean, they had over 17,000 in Tampa Bay the same night, so it's not a Florida thing. I think it's possibly South Florida coupled with a losing team. I think Florida's made the playoffs, you know, like once in the last 18 years. So, and in terms of two teams in Toronto, I mean, I don't even know that New York really, we have two teams in New York, but I don't really know. And you could say the island is an island unto itself. At least all us city guys say that because it's Long Island. It's not New York City. But they haven't really supported the Islanders, and that's one of the reasons they're moving to Brooklyn. Will that make a big change? You know, they'll only be 10 miles from Madison Square Garden, but they'll be in the city. So we'll just have to wait and see if that happens. Up in Toronto, again, I'll defer to Keith on that. But again, the notion, I will go back to when the Mets came back. Because my old man, who was around for the Giants and the Dodgers and the Yankees, he used to tell me when the Mets came back, well, it's great that they're back, but it's not like the way it used to be. And if you go look at the attendance of those three teams, I think the Yankees, when they drew 4 million, like a few years ago, when they drew 4 million when the Yankees were the Yankees, early 21st century, I think that 4 million outdrew the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Giants together back in the 50s. So you have to be careful. Again, I would defer to Keith, but I just don't see how a stronghold Toronto, original six, been there for 100 years or maybe a little less than 100 years, certainly in the NHL since 1926-27, I don't see how they could have two teams. So generally speaking, in all sports, I'm against it because it just waters down the product.
Well, good points there. And as far as any disparaging comments towards the winter sports fans of the Miami area, especially after the last couple of years, you won't hear me taking up for them. I would endorse the accuracy of all of that myself. In terms of just any kind of general predictions for the season, anything that we think is going to go on, I'll get us started here. My pick for the Stanley Cup this year, not exactly reinventing the wheel when you look at the top teams, but I'm going to say Chicago over Boston again in six games. Don't really have too many predictions beyond that. I don't think Stamkos is going to topple Crosby for the Hart Trophy this year, although as an inveterate Pittsburgh hater, it wouldn't break my heart if he did. So what about you, Keith? Any kind of general predictions or thoughts for this season on things that are likely?
You know, I think the only thing that would come as a surprise is I think Tampa Bay is going to come out of the East. You know, and I like Boston a lot, but I think it's going to be Tampa Bay over Boston in the East. Chicago winning the Stanley Cup seems to make a lot of sense. And, you know, what I'm going to say, Steve Stamkos gets the Hart this year.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, I'd rather see it not be Crosby, obviously. And that would be very interesting. And as far as, Tampa Bay coming out of the East, that is certainly very plausible. By the way, and the notion of Chicago coming out of the West, is there anything to that the last couple of years? I mean, the Hawks come into this year a little bit hungrier because they got toppled. The Kings were a little hungrier the year before because they got ousted. I mean, is there anything to that at all, do you think, as far as a factor?
You know, I mean, they were so close. They were within a goal last year of doing it. And, you know, they did get better over the offseason. I mean, the Kings kept their team together. They did lose Willie Mitchell on the defensive side. But Chicago actually improved their team. And, you know, you could have made the case that Chicago, they could have easily won the Stanley Cup last year. So, you know, I like that they improved the team. I certainly think that they'll play with a bit more of a chip on their shoulder, having, you know, come so close to winning a third Stanley Cup. And I think it makes a lot of sense that Chicago could do it again. As much as I do not enjoy watching them, especially when they play the Los Angeles Kings, I think that they're the team to beat this year.
Yeah, well, as a Wings fan, I wouldn't be wild about seeing them lift the cup again this year either. I hope I'm wrong about that. So, Steve, any thoughts from you, general predictions on the season?
Yeah, I'm going to go Penguins over the Bruins in the Eastern Conference Final. I agree that Tampa Bay, they would be the third on my list. But the Bruins losing Ginla, and I understand he's getting older, et cetera. But he did score 30 goals last year, and 30 goals is a big-time goal scorer in the NHL nowadays. So I don't know where the Bruins are going to make those 30 goals up. I understand they have some younger players who are going to get better, but it's a lot to lose a 30-goal scorer. So I'm just going to give Pittsburgh the edge. Pittsburgh really shook things up. You know, I think if you're a Penguins fan, and I'm not, you're disappointed that they've only been able to manage one cup. They still have just an incredible, arguably the best 1-2 punch with Crosby and Malkin. So I'm going to pick them in the East over the Bruins. And in the West, I think it's true. You throw a blanket over the Kings and the Blackhawks, and there are other teams in the West who can come out. But I'm going to pick Chicago over the Kings. I think Brad Richards, and again, after watching him all year last year, 53 points for the Rangers was like 75 or 80 points for any other team because the Rangers just can't score. And he had a very good playoff series. And again, I think without the pressure of New York on him, coupled with not being the main man scoring-wise there, I think he's going to give them a big lift. And I think he's obviously not just a scorer. I think he's an excellent player. So I think that's going to give them enough. Plus, I do believe in the hunger thing a little bit, but you know the Kings are hungry. But I think, yeah, the Blackhawks, after just getting beaten Game 7 last year in the conference finals. And I believe, as it sounds like Keith does as well, and probably you too, Rick, whoever wins the West, that's the Stanley Cup Finals. And had Chicago made it to the finals, I think, much as I'm a Ranger fan, that they would have beaten the Rangers last year. So I'm going to pick the Blackhawks in the West, and I pick them to beat the Penguins in the Stanley Cup Finals, and I'll say in six games as well.
Absolutely, and I just, to refresh my memory, I just pulled up Fantasy Hockey Draftology 2014 at fantasydrafthelp.com here, and what you guys are saying about Tampa Bay, my pick in the conference semis was Boston over Tampa Bay in seven. So I'm right there with you guys on Tampa Bay, roughly being at parity with the Bruins at this point in time. And certainly if they snuck through, that would not be a shock to me either. Nor was it a shock to me, again, that we had an excellent hockey discussion here today. I look forward to reprising this again over a period of time, catching up with you guys and seeing what the NHL landscape is. Keith Korneloff and Steve Kallas, it is always a pleasure to get you gentlemen on here talking all things the puck. Thank you so much for your time, gentlemen. This was really great.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.